here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. YouTube is launching a music streaming service offering both videos and audio tracks in an attempt to compete with Spotify and Apple Music. London, England has a solution to the cashless society problem facing street performers, and it involves an investment in contactless payment systems. Two Canadian banks say accounts have been compromised. CIBC says 40,000 and BMO says 50,000 customer accounts are affected. Ride-hailing firm Uber will give its European drivers access to medical coverage and compensation for work-related injuries. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yaman.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. YouTube is launching a music streaming service offering both videos and audio tracks in an attempt to compete with the likes of Spotify and Apple Music. YouTube Music will combine millions of official tracks with the vast catalogs and rarities of remixes uploaded by YouTube's users. Like Spotify, it will offer a free ad-funded app alongside premium subscriptions costing $9.99 per month. It launched yesterday in 5 countries, including the U.S. in Mexico. The Google-owned company said YouTube Music would come to Europe soon. YouTube Music product manager Elias Roman said the days of jumping back and forth between multiple music apps and YouTube are over. Whether or not you want to listen, watch, or discover, it's all here. In a blog post, he added that the service would offer a mix of official songs, albums, thousands of playlists, and artist radio, plus YouTube's tremendous catalog of remixes, live performances, covers, and music videos that you can't find anywhere else. He promised that the new app would offer personalized playlists based on users' streaming history, much like Spotify's Discover Weekly. It is understood that YouTube Music will eventually replace Google Play Music, which is the company's current streaming offering. Existing Google Play Music customers will get a YouTube Music package thrown into their subscription for free, while Roman reassured users that their playlist purchases, uploads, and uploads would remain intact once Google Play was phased out. So, Google Play is being phased out. We are on Google Play.
Yay, we got it. We're finally on Google Play. Hooray! And they're shutting us down.
And it's done.
Yeah. Okay, so.
That was a short
this list. This is good news for us, in fact.
Oh, sure.
Huge, because now we're not going to be on Google Play Music because it'll be shut down. We'll be on YouTube Music.
So
you
we're
can't
gonna
fire
be on YouTube.
Us. We quit. No.
Yeah.
We'll be on YouTube Music.
Answer me this.
Yes.
How many people here, by show of hands, use YouTube for music?
YouTube for music? That's, yes-ish.
Already?
Yes-ish.
Okay. I have recently discovered in YouTube Live, because they have live video streaming, that there are radio stations from around the world who have a picture, and they're streaming their radio station on YouTube Live.
Yeah.
For them, it's free streaming. For me, I can listen to radio from all around the world.
Isn't it awesome?
I love it.
Wow.
I'm a longtime Shoutcast user, like from way back in the Nullsoft days, but... I've recently been kind of finding myself more and more on YouTube Live. And that's become my source for not only music listening, but music discovery.
Well, it's
I'm
so true.
I'm finding so many great artists that I didn't know. Indie artists.
Up and coming, new.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, yeah.
Like, the independent scene is huge on YouTube.
It really
is. And so, like, I'm a big, like, vocal dubstep, chill step fan. And, yeah, like, chill step, there are so many indie artists that are just phenomenal.
Right. This is where it works for me. What we end up doing at home is, because we have our computer set up to our TV, we open Spotify and run the music, but then have to open YouTube so that we don't burn images into the TV. So we're playing videos of anything.
Oh, okay.
Right? So,
because your TV has to be on.
Right.
Because it's HDMI output.
Yeah. So you still need...
So now if I have Google Music, if they have the actual stream with video, right? If they have music and video, then I won't have to open two things. I could actually change my subscription from Spotify right to Google... Or not Google, to YouTube Music.
Yeah,
it's
but
not, it's not natural for me to
play
YouTube
Doubles
music
Advocate,
yet.
Though. It's just like, for free, I can go on YouTube and just look up at like music videos and like everything else. So like my only concern is that, it's awesome to have like that content that you pay for, but are things going to be like hidden behind a paywall now on YouTube, right?
I don't know, because they are such an advertisement-based platform. So, yeah, there will be the paywall for sure. But when I discover new indie artists, and then I immediately go on YouTube and I look for their music videos, I'm clicking on those videos, and what am I doing?
Exactly.
I'm feeding that artist because they've got ads on that
video. Because like right now, at this time right now, YouTube Red is the example. Exact same thing, but it's video only, right? Yep. So it's like... for X amount of dollars a month, you don't have to like watch ads,
right?
All that
and
stuff.
So we're
and you
huge
get special
on,
video.
We're
right?
huge on YouTube Red because we burn the advertisements directly into the video. Make sure you shop through our website, category5.tv.
There you go. So yeah,
they
so
love like, us there.
Yeah. So that's my thing. Though,
I think we violate all kinds of policies.
Sponsor. It's kidding, but yeah, no, that's my only concern, right? Because like. It's awesome. It's great content. YouTube's huge. Like, and to say that, anyone can become famous for free in that sense. Like, we can all make a YouTube account and everything else. That's, like, my one concern is that, like, I don't want, like, all these new artists to be, like... Because YouTube's at a really interesting stage right now, right? Because, like, there's, like, the entire adpocalypse that happened a few months ago.
Yeah.
There's the AdSense. Everything else has been reshuffled. Especially like the entire monetization policy has been rewritten. So like I'm really hopeful that YouTube and Google overall looks after their content creators for this one, because I want to see like all these new like artists come into fruition. Like I want this to work, and please, like if they do it, eventually give it to Canada, because we still don't have it here.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel you absolutely. And even our show, like we need that funding in order to be able to do the show. So when you talk about, when Henry's talking about monetization, shuffling and things like that, it affects people like us who are broadcasting to you for free, because our monetization has dropped because Google has said, oh, well, that channel doesn't have enough subscribers.
Right.
That one doesn't have enough subscribers. That one we just don't like. So we're dropping monetization on that. And boom, there goes the bottom line. So so we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens. And
but if it is, and I hope it is awesome, it's going to be great. Because we already use YouTube anyways for music.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So to be able to have all these hopeful features that you pay for, hopefully, like, it's going to be awesome.
Love that it's not top 40 anymore. Like, we're in a world where the top 40 doesn't matter, because we can watch great music. We can learn about new music.
Yeah.
And we're not stuck just with what the top 40 tells us we need to listen to.
I like love that. This age. Okay.
Internet.
London, England has a solution to the cashless society problem facing street performers. It involves an investment in contactless payment systems. Here's a casualty of the cashless society you might not have previously thought of, the humble street performer. After all, more of us are paying our way through our way through smartphones and contactless cards. How can we spare change to musicians on the subway? London, England has a solution, a new scheme that outfits performers with contactless payment terminals. The project was launched this past weekend by the city's mayor, Sadat Khan, and a collaboration with Busk in London, a professional body for buskers. And the Swedish payment firm iZettle, which was bought this month by PayPal for $2.2 billion. A select few performers have been testing Zettle's contactless readers on the streets for the past few weeks. And Khan now says the scheme will be rolled out across London's 32 boroughs. Charlotte Campbell, a full-time street performer who was part of the trial, said that the new tech had a significant impact on contributions. She said that more people than ever tapped to donate while she sings, and often when one person does, another follows. The readers need to be connected to a smartphone or tablet and accept payments of fixed amounts set by the individual performer. They work with contactless cards, phones, and even smartwatches. There's no details yet on how many readers will be provided to London street performers or whether they will have to pay for the readers themselves.
Nice. That's really cool.
So that's really cool.
So if I'm a busker and I'm sitting there with my acoustic guitar and I get to set the contactless payment... I'm setting it to $1 million.
All you need is one. All you need is one.
Yeah, I feel like they
come on, tap it.
1080, it's £1 million.
If I had $1 million.
I think that this is great, honestly. Like, I think that I have seen commercials, and who was it? There was like a commercial for another, like it was Interact or something, and it was a busker, and he had one of those little square phone things in. I don't know. I just remember thinking to myself,
I don't have cable TV.
I use Netflix and YouTube and stuff. You don't see the commercials I see.
No. Wow. I don't see commercials. I haven't seen a commercial in 10 years, Sasha.
There are times you want to help people and you can't because you don't have cash.
I was walking through the mall to get my new smartphone this past week. And some little girls were selling Girl Guide cookies.
Right.
And
this is case in point.
And it's just like, and I kind of wanted to walk around them because I was a little bit heartbroken.
But you
like,
need the cookies.
Do you take Visa?
Exactly. Okay, so that's exactly the point.
Yeah.
I mean, right now at cash outs, they ask, do you want to donate $1 to this or $1 to that? Mm-hmm. I'm a yes person. I always do.
Sure. But you're standing there with your debit or your
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm standing there at points of purchase, right? So, but if it's children at the door, I have to give them the cold shoulder,
the
which is horrible.
Army
right?
Navy standing at the door collecting and...
Or like a little kid
really
on the side with like a lemonade stand. Nobody's driving by with money in their car anymore. Like now they could get out and pay for their little lemonade with the
The funny part about that is that when I was in Air Cadets, we had to do something called tagging. So it's like you go to like your Shoppers Drug Mart or whatever, you stand outside and collect money. The biggest thing like... 5-10 years ago whenever I was in cadets half the time people were like, sorry, I don't have change. I have friends still with the squadron and they're like, oh yeah, we have like Visa machines and stuff now. I'm like, what?
Nice.
You guys have like
they
card
need
readers
that.
Now
they
yeah,
absolutely
they do.
Need that
yes.
like the collections for the Salvation Army at Christmas time they have
totally.
Like if
this
they
is
had
perfect.
That
yeah
I would I always feel terrible, like, because I do not carry cash anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Plain and simple. So, and you're not expecting someone to be collecting at the door, and so I feel very unprepared.
So this...
But I would tap.
This works for buskers and people accepting donations. This doesn't as much work for panhandlers, though.
Yeah, what would they do? What would a homeless
person
do?
Right, because a homeless person doesn't have access to
maybe
a smartphone
even have a bank
or
account.
A tablet or a bank account.
Yeah.
So if we're taking the cash, like if we're actually going cashless, if we're taking the cash out of society, are we now really even further marginalizing an entire people? Like,
absolutely. That's a scary thought, and it's absolutely true. Like, how would I... Like, in our city, we don't really see a lot of... beggars, if you will.
Like can we just go like full Star Trek and just get rid of money? And
that would be fantastic.
That'd
I mean,
be awesome.
Hey, that'd be great. But
I wonder, like, you see people on the on and off ramps of the highway, right?
Yeah.
Sure you do, yeah.
And I mean, some of them you want, some of them you want to drive past.
And
some
before,
of them you want to give money to, and you
sure.
can't.
And before, you're in your car, you have change because you just bought a coffee at the local Timmy's, but now Timmy's takes debit.
Exactly.
And it's tap on the way through, and you keep driving.
They have an app now. You can
order. You just pre-order it while
and
you're
then
waiting
you walk
in line.
You don't even order anymore.
I think of a ton of ways this could help. Like, when I went to New Newfoundland, and we went through one of the trails. It was like the Puffin Trail. Mm-hmm. And there's a little cash donation box because volunteers maintain the trail. Mm-hmm. Right? But what if they had actually inside that box some device that was connected, right? Where you could
RFID, just tap it,
right, to make your donation. Because I'm sure that that box is more empty than full because who on a hike brings cash?
Just put in your Visa card with like a little note, please return to after charging like a dollar.
So someone
needs to create, like just to wrap up this story, but someone needs to create a charity of some sort or a ministry of some sort that has a device that uses LTE internet and is connected to the internet and has a tap that they can lend out to homeless people, for example.
Right.
You know, or people that are looking for work or in between jobs. And if they're going to beg for handouts, for lack of a better term, here's a device that you can borrow. And at the end of the day, because it's connected to our network through LTE, we will pay you what was... given.
Hopefully in cash, because they probably don't have a bank account.
That's what I mean.
Exactly.
So if we had a charity or a ministry involved as a middle person that could then translate this tap system into, okay, bring us back the device and we will give you the cash that you have collected. They will always get the device back because that's the only way they'll get their money.
Right.
Right? Otherwise it's a useless device.
It's
so
true.
So I mean, get on it, folks.
Yeah. Cashless society is where we're going, but it is kind of scary. Beyond that,
it can be.
Two Canadian banks say accounts have been compromised. CIBC says 40,000 and BMO says up to 50,000 customers' accounts have been affected. Two Canadian banks warned Monday that they have been targeted by hackers and that the personal information of tens of thousands of customers may have been stolen, something that appears to have been confirmed in a letter to the media from someone who said that they were demanding a $1 million ransom from the banks. CIBC-owned Simply Financial was the first to warn on Monday morning that hackers had accessed the personal and account information of more than 40,000 of the bank's customers. The bank said it received a tip over the weekend that hackers had obtained the data and that after a preliminary investigation decided to go public on Monday. The bank's senior vice president, Michael Martin, said in a statement, "We're taking this claim seriously and have taken action to further enhance our monitoring and security procedures." Then later Monday morning, Bank of Montreal spokesperson Paul Gamel revealed that it too had received a tip that fraudsters had stolen data on up to 50,000 of the bank's customers and that the party responsible has threatened to make the data public. Someone claiming to have stolen the data sent a letter to the media outlets across Canada later that day, threatening to sell the information to criminals if the banks do not pay a $1 million ransom. The email ended with a sample of the information in question, the names, dates of birth, and social insurance numbers, as well as account balances of an Ontario man and woman living in BC. Banks are caught in a tough spot on this issue because they're being pulled between competing forces. They want to make it easier to use technology to bank with them, but don't want to open themselves up to more fraud.
Yeah, that's a scary thing for sure.
I know.
It's a hard
bounce. $1 million Canadian, so somebody in America should just pay it because it's only $40. No.
Yay!
another Canada burn from the Canadians.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yep.
Banks forever have been known to have like bank hours, which are not convenient to pay to people in general because they're only open from certain amounts of time.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the mentality now of banks trying to like pander to the public and make things easier and simpler because it's actually
just open your doors, yo.
Right. Like it's working against everyone to have such an easy way into accounts. I did a little bit of reading on this and I found out how the hackers got in, and it was astoundingly simple.
Oh?
It was the security questions.
No.
Well,
yeah.
Like, were they generic?
So you go to forget password. You go to forget password, and then when you go to forget password, it comes up with a list of security questions, but the security questions are generally, like, pretty easy to guess.
Yeah, and you can't make your own.
What's your favorite color?
Exactly.
It's like green, blue, red.
And then you get emailed a new password. Just like that, bingo bango.
Right.
Right? Oh, well, it should be if you forgot your password, which...
At the same time, like, if the banks are found at fault, it's like they'd still cover you money-wise.
Oh, they're
right?
liable. Absolutely.
So that's the thing. Is as a consumer, we're safe?
Like the CDIC.
Because
like,
you think so, but you have to keep meticulous look at your account
Plus,
at
it's
all
your,
times.
It's all of your information. It's not even the money. The money's
it's like
covered.
Your social
it's
insurance like your, number. Exactly. Everything else.
It's like... buying hosting from DreamHost. Like, if they have an uptime guarantee.
Yeah.
Right.
And if they're down, they'll give you a month free or something.
Yay!
So, but you have to catch it. You have to be sitting at your computer refreshing over and over during that outage to catch it and then report it to them.
Right.
You know, and other companies, I use that example. Rogers is the same and, you know, guaranteed uptime.
I wonder if, like, the banks could do something a little bit less comfortable for people. Like, if you forgot your password, come in and prove yourself in person.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it's a competition.
2 hours.
Thing. Learn
right?
from
sure.
Facebook.
Right?
Learn from Facebook. Well, you lost your password. We're shutting down your account.
Delete.
I just...
You like, call that a picture of your face? We're shutting you down.
It makes me uncomfortable to think that banks are trying to win us, and because of that, they're sacrificing our security.
Well, they're a business, right? They want things faster, cheaper, easier. If you don't have to walk into the branch to do a transaction or something, then they don't have to pay, like, X amount of tellers.
Right.
So they're saving money. Meanwhile, like...
Oh, boy.
But they're not saving money if we get all hacked and all of our
accounts. Yeah, but you have insurance. And then it's just like... It's a never-ending battle.
I just don't even want to go here because I'm thinking about the banks now and you don't want to get me thinking about
right.
the banks.
Well, here's... Okay.
Because I'm a customer service... fanatic.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
So when it comes to the banks, I'm like, come on.
I used to work at a bank.
I am your customer. I am your customer.
But the thing, okay, yes. The thing is that you have to remember is that the villains of this world are incredibly intelligent. Mm-hmm. So having security questions like, what is your favorite color? Or what was the name of your first dog? I bet
and
you
that is
was
why
Spot.
We mash the keypad with our palms.
As soon as she said like supervillain, like intelligent, I just thought of like Dr. Evil from Austin Powers.
$1 million
into your account.
$1 million.
Hackers are smart. We just need to be a little bit smarter.
All right.
Okay.
It's we'll never-ending battle.
We'll work on that, Sasha.
Ride-hailing firm Uber will give its European drivers access to medical coverage and compensation for work-related injuries. The new protections include sick pay, parental leave, and bereavement payments. Uber said it had previously focused too much on growth and not enough on the people who make that growth possible. We called drivers partners but didn't always act like it, said Uber's chief executive, Dara Khosrowshahi.
I love it.
Insurance and compensation package will be available to all Uber drivers and Uber Eats delivery couriers across Europe. Uber's announcement comes before an appeal hearing at Westminster Magistrates Court on June 25th, where a judge will decide whether Transport for London should renew Uber's operating license in London after they'd withdrawn Uber's operating license in September on the grounds of public safety and security implications. Uber has been allowed to continue operating in the city while it appealed against the decision. Uber said it will provide drivers with a range of insurance coverage and compensation resulting from accidents or injuries that occur while they're working, as well as protection from major life events that happen whether the driver is on shift or not. In the U.S., on the other hand, Uber drivers continue to fight in court for the right to be classed as workers. So,
interesting.
I'm glad to hear that they're making progress anyway.
It is.
I feel like Uber's like really growing up and they're really like kind of, I mean, I suppose they're manning up probably in reaction to
the
fact that they've been closed down. But the way they came back at it and now they're offering compensation makes me respect them so much more in that I am fairly certain that the taxi drivers in the city of Barrie don't get the compensations that are now awarded to Uber, you know, in the UK.
So they may want to actually become Uber drivers.
Well, if it comes to North America, right?
Yeah.
Where if the benefits come to North America, we have Uber.
Yeah.
I just love this entire shift because, like, we're seeing, like, this entire, like, internet economy really, really maturing in this sense, right? Because Uber's not the only one. There's, like, a lot of other companies that are online-based that say that are like Airbnb, drone based, mm-hmm. things like these other things that are now are providing insurance. So like if you're Airbnb,
right,
a drone pilot who flies a drone base, all these other things,
they're wising up.
They're
for sure.
Yeah, they're saying, okay, we got you covered. Like they're mm-hmm. learning,
right.
hopefully learning from mistakes.
That's it. Is it a marketing thing or is it actually that the company is improving?
Exactly.
And let's hope that they're improving.
I think
let's sit back and watch.
I'm going to go with the positive on this. They mm-hmm. are growing up. Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
Thanks, Sasha. I'm Robbie Ferguson.
I'm still Henry.
Bailey Brown.
It's been great having you here, folks. Have a wonderful week. We will see you again next week.